This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you ka-ching. Ka-ching. Come on, guys, we talked about this. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. And once you start selling, Shopify makes getting paid simple by instantly accepting every type of payment. What I love about Shopify is how, no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. You want to grow big? Shopify. You want to grow small? Shopify. You want to grow medium rare? Also Shopify. Shopify powers 10% of all commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
You're listening to iFanboy Special Edition Hellboy.
You look like an angel.
Look like an angel.
Walk like an angel.
Walk like an angel.
Talk like an angel. But I got wise. You're the devil in disguise. Oh, yes, you are.
Hey, this is Josh Flanagan from iFanboy.com. This is the special edition on the new Hellboy movie released this year. And this is historic. It's just me. Due to a combination of vacations, pet issues, and some illness, I have no one else to do this show with right now. So it's just me, which is promising to you because it will probably be shorter than normal and you can get on with your day. And I've never done this by myself. I can do the comic book show by myself, but I can't do this by myself. I mean, I can. I'm doing it. But here we are. So, let's see. Let's go with that. I think we always... Connor also usually runs these things. So he just says something, and then I grab it and talk. But he's not here. Anyway, so let's talk about history with Hellboy. Longtime listeners will know, you know, we've been familiar with and fans of Hellboy for a long time, the BBRD and stuff like that, but have dropped off in recent years. I was sort of the spearhead on that, and it just got sort of repetitive. Hellboy ended, I'm doing air quotes, Hellboy ended and then kind of kept going in other ways, and there was I felt like I'd sort of had enough of it, and it wasn't all that exciting for me anymore, even though I really appreciated the craft of it. You may remember there were two Hellboy movies that already happened. They were directed by Guillermo del Toro, and not Benicio del Toro, which is my instinct to say when I'm saying that out loud, but I know that that's a different guy. But this is a new movie, for some reason. I didn't love the other movies. Like, I thought they were good. I'm just not a big del Toro fan. I think they were interesting. They were visually stunning. I think Ron Perlman was a very good Hellboy for what it was worth. And, you know, Doug Jones was a really good Abe Sapien. And they made them, and it was fine. And the second one came out, and that was okay, too. And those were related to the comics, but they weren't necessarily taken directly from it. And I think that in retrospect, that is probably a pretty good idea to sort of make them their own thing. So when this movie was coming out, I remember the trailer had come out and lots of people had pretty strong reactions. And I actually think they were stronger than they needed to be. People were like, that looks terrible. And I was like, it looks like Hellboy. It's sort of, that's what Hellboy sort of is. And I can't say I was excited to see the movie, but I had an open mind, I guess. I'm not so connected to the material that I'm worried about it being ruined in any way like that. I think what Mignola does on Hellboy, and then later I think Duncan Fegredo had started doing the regulars, and then other people did. Like, it got to the point where Mike Mignola drawing Hellboy was actually just a really big deal on its own. But, like, those things were largely stylistic, and they work in comic book form for me. I don't need them translated so much. If you've listened to the show, you've heard me say these kinds of things before. I believe in the integrity and strength of the comic book format for some of these properties more than others. So I went to the movie because we needed someone to do a show about it, and I figured somebody else would also go see it, but it turns out that's not the case, and now I'm stuck doing this. So when I got to the theater, there was no one there. Like right beforehand, it was one of those reserved seat theaters. So, you know, sometimes people show up right at the end, but I was like 5 minutes before the movie started. A couple of people did come in, and it's possible that this will be tainted a little bit by the fact that the people who sat directly behind me in an empty theater spoke to each other in Spanish the entire time and not quietly. And I was getting really upset. And there's some other people in the back. And I tried to move, but the place was so empty that it didn't really work. So that was a thing. But I believe I can still work with this objectively. The movie was Hellboy. Like, it was very directly translated from comic book stories that I have read, is sort of what I got out of it. It wasn't fully a reboot. They didn't go through the entire origin again, although they did touch on it, I think, if you'd never seen it before. You know, the differences this time is instead of Hellboy being played by Ron Perlman, he's played by David Harbour. Instead of the brilliant John Hurt, Professor Broom was played by Ian McShane. And there were some little changes there. There was no Liz. There was no Abe. Spoilers, I guess. There's spoilers coming up. I should have given you this warning. There is a bit at the end where they hint that Abe Sapien will be here for whatever the next movie is, but I'm guessing that doesn't happen. you know, if I'm comparing the two, I don't think David Harbour was a bad Hellboy. He seemed to have it down pretty well. In fact, I'd almost give a nod to him over Ron Perlman, because with Ron Perlman, I sort of never got past the idea that I'm like, oh, that's Ron Perlman. Wow, he's pretty jacked. That's what I was thinking the whole time. Harbour, I don't know if Harbour was that jacked, but he had a suit on that made it look like he was, or CGI or whatever. Maybe he is. Maybe he's a gigantic bodybuilder, too. I don't really know. You know, visually, Hellboy looked fine. It was like a slightly different... It actually looked more like Duncan Vergrito's version than Mike Mignola's, I think. You know, he looked good. He sounded good. They had the big, you know, right hand of doom. It made a cool stone sound when it touched things. It looked like it was in the way. But, you know, like visually, it was all fine. The thing is this. As I watched the movie, I just thought, why am I watching this? Not why in the larger sense, but why does this exist? Which is the same place that I got to with the Watchmen movie. I don't think it was necessarily bad, although I don't believe it has aged well over time. And there's some things that are good about it, and there's a lot that's just forgettable about it. And I think that's where I am with this Hellboy version. I don't know why it exists, other than to, you know, if the only reason is to make sure that Mike Mignola can make a living and you know, get the most out of his property, fine, I'm cool with that. I hope him all the most success in the world. Honestly, you know, like completely, I hope that makes him sell more comics. I hope that whatever. And I think that you can see a lot here that there wasn't an auteur quality the way there was with Del Toro's movie. It was like, let's make these Hellboy comics. But in doing so, we lost something. Meaning, the comics themselves are a really special thing for the way that they look, for the way that they feel, for the way that they're colored, for the way that the people talk and the story is told. And I don't think it translated particularly well into film, because it lost those magical qualities, and then it just kind of seemed boring and rote. And I think that's, you know, I don't think Hellboy is particularly inventive. I mean, the comic book is particularly inventive in terms of its tropes and the kind of story it's telling. You know, it's a mishmash of sort of goth and horror things and suspense and monsters and you know, puts them all together in, you know, the old school movie monsters and stuff like that. And, you know, the movie does all that stuff. It definitely feels like it's referring to other things or other legends that are involved with it. The monsters were very good in the movie, I thought. They really looked like they took a lot of imagination. I think the animators did a good job of them. They were creepy. They were threatening. They were really cool. But that's not enough for me to watch a movie, really. And You know, so I sat there through the whole thing. I wasn't particularly bored. You know, the villain was a villain. She Mila Jovovich, the queen of blood queen, something like that, at the beginning was King Arthur and Merlin, and that all ties back into, you know, the big Hellboy story, and that was the deal. And it's funny because this really tended to cover the full scope of Hellboy's story, where he finds out that he's, you know, descended of Arthur, and he, you know, gets Excalibur, and that's how he beats, I forget how the book ended, actually, because it got kind of weird. Then the Wild Hunt is in there. These British aristocrats who hunt giants and then turn on Hellboy at the last second. You know, I'd seen it all, I guess. And, you know, at the end, I just like, okay, that had been a movie that I saw. And, you know, it wasn't terrible. I it's funny because I wondered if like a Hellboy superfan would be like, that's exactly what I wanted, which would be the same thing that they already had, but not drawn by Mike Mignola and colored by Dave Stewart. You know, and that's a thing that you can do too. Overall, like the look of it was kind of, you know, bland. It looked like one of those movies. It looked a little cheap in places, which I don't actually think is necessarily a bad thing, because Hellboy has an element of schlock to it, and it should kind of work like that. You know, it had the right sense of humor. It had all that stuff. But it didn't have anything else, I think, is what I brought to it. It just was that, and it was that in a different way. So that's kind of my review, I think. There were things I liked about it. It was sort of an interesting mental exercise to sort of wonder, like, all right, what do we got going on here? What's this bringing to the table? What is there to appreciate here? What is there not to? So it wasn't like I was watching the movie and I was like, oh, that's terrible. I wasn't like that, but I was kind of bored. It's almost the same reason I stopped reading the Hellboy comics. Like, I had sort of, I realized what they had to say. I'd had enough of it. I've looked at it. I can look at the art anytime I want to. It's fine. It was fine. It was, you know, mediocre, really. So it wasn't super exciting, but I also wasn't really looking forward to it all that much. That was a most boring review that anyone's ever done of something, and it's all the more punctuated by the fact that I had no one else to talk to here. I feel... For a show that I'm putting out for public consumption, I've done a lot of apologizing. I feel like you deserve a lot, and maybe you're not getting it right now. Maybe you are. I don't know. Is it worth seeing? I don't know. I think that there's a lot of people out there who like seeing these comic book movies, and they get a joy and a satisfaction out of that, which I'm a little over. You know, the idea of, oh, I can't believe we're getting a Hellboy reboot. Like, it's so standard right now that... there's a specialness that kind of gets lost, you know, and made from a comic book is not all that interesting anymore, I guess. So I'm going to go, let's see, let's talk about ratings. Ratings. If I get it on a 5-point scale, I'm going to give it a 2.5. Right down the middle. It's not really anything terribly offensive. There's not really anything terribly invigorating. Yeah, that's kind of where I am. You know, I think there's ways that it could have been more interesting, and I think that they thought the text was enough for that. You know, I love Ian McShane. Like, I love Ian McShane. I love the sound of his voice. You know, basically I love Deadwood, but either way, he didn't hold a candle to John Hurt's broom. I don't know if they changed the background of the character, but I get the idea that this broom was, I don't know. I don't know. I don't remember Professor Broom in the comics being the one who, like, I know that he was supposed to kill Hellboy, but I don't think that he was, like, the trained killer and head of the BPRD in the same way before. He was more of, like, a academic. I'm not really sure. But just, I don't know. I it was cool for Ian McShane to be in it, but I don't know that he was the right way. And maybe it's just that John Hurt was so good in the other role. It seemed perfect. So there. Yeah, that's kind of... Actually, that dude from Lost, he was really good, too. I can't think of his name. But he was actually kind of awesome. I was like, oh, he should be like an action hero. Plus, he turned into a big jaguar cat thing. So that was all right. Yeah, I'm sticking with 2.5. That'll do, I think. I think we're all ready for this to be over, if I'm not incorrect. So if you liked this, or if you want to give it another shot later because you like, I think they can do better, we can. You can go to ifanboy.com. You can comment on this show. You can tell us what you think. You can do that on social media as well. You can listen to our regular Pick of the Week podcast. There are more of these shows coming up later this week. There's more special editions, and there's a Avengers Endgame show coming up later this month. That will be a thing. So thank you very much. iFanboy.com. If you want to support the show, Patreon.com/iFanboy. Stuff like that. Thank you. And I'm not going to apologize again. I'm doing this for you. So, you know, take it or leave it, guys. I'm a dad, so I can say things like that. All right, bye.
You're the devil in disguise. Oh, yes, you are. Devil in disguise. Oh, yes, you are. Devil in disguise. Oh, yes, you are.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over. In your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found, I am not a therapist, I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it, and sometimes it makes you realize like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing. You should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.